We've all seen those neon signs for a psychic reading, a tarot reading, or even those ladies who have a crystal ball at the circus. But what does it mean to actually be psychic? What is the difference between a psychic, a medium, and a clairvoyant? My guest today, Bernadette Gould, is going to help us debunk what it actually means and the awakening process in itself. Stay tuned. Hello, Bernadette. Welcome to Coffee with Source. How are you doing today?
I'm great. And thank you for having me. This is exciting.
I am. I'm so excited. You and I chatted last time. It was supposed to be a quick 30-minute call, and I think we got carried away. And so I've been so excited for this moment. You're a fascinating human being. Can you tell our listeners who you are?
So I am Bernadette Gould, and I'm an author. I just released a book on my life. I'm a clairvoyant. I am a success coach, a spiritual teacher. I'm all kinds of things. I'm a mother.
Yeah, you're the coolest person I know, that's for sure. And so your book dropped on Monday, and how did that go?
It's good. We hit number one in, I think, three different categories for bestseller. We hit number one new release in about six categories. We're still on the list. Book self-publishing is a lot of work.
Yeah, I guess.
And the audio book is getting ready to drop. If I can get it all done today, it should drop tomorrow or the next day. My goal is by Friday.
So, I mean, congratulations on the book, but for those who are listening to us and, you know, have no idea who you are, and, you know, people are writing books left and right now. Mm-hmm. What is so special about your book? I know the story behind it, but this is years in the making.
Oh my God.
And sort of a memoir and a no bullshit kind of book. So
yeah, there's no,
what is this book about? Why do
the title of the book is The Crooked Path to a Charmed Life, A Clairvoyant Medium's Journey to Embracing Her Spiritual Gifts. It took me 7 years to write. This is over 50 years. I mean, I'm going to be 55 in December, and I've seen a whole lot. I've been through a whole lot. I mean, the first half of the book is about the first chapter is like insane because it's about my spiritual awakening and sort of initiation into the world of the dark spirits and the angels. And I was going to church at the time, and my daughter was a year old, and she got attacked by demons and thrown up against our wood burning stove. That's in the book in the first chapter. In that first chapter, literally, I got to wrestle with a big ass demon for the first time. Saw all kinds of things, ran into a dark arts witch coven, and I have nothing against witches as long as you're in the light. Yeah. And you're not casting bad stuff, but these women were politicians' wives and they were doing some bad stuff for the whole town.
And I want to clarify, this is not a sci-fi book. This is
a memoir. This is a memoir. My life.
We're not talking about, you know.
Yes. So that was the first chapter, and I ended up divorced in the first chapter. And during my divorce, my ex molested my daughter. And that was one of the things that started to take over this little town. It was like every little girl was getting molested by her father. It was the weirdest thing, but it was this legion of spirits, demons. And I had a great education. And then I dropped into a place like, God doesn't love me. What the hell's going on? Like, I want nothing to do with this stuff. But as the story progresses, then I start to go back in my life from birth and living with a narcissistic mother who tried to kill me when she was 8 months pregnant and who hated me. And it goes through all of the abuse as a child, and hiding my gifts because I got in trouble for them. Like, my mother, when I was 5 years old, brought the Catholic priest over to try and exorcise me.
Oh my God.
While my angels and spirits were like, just look down, watch the TV, just listen, but don't do anything. And so I learned at a very young age, I think I was 5 at that time, I learned how if they were speaking, or they were like, and I mean, my guides or angels were speaking, I was to either stare straight ahead, like I wasn't seeing them, or look down at my feet. And then no one would know that I was communicating with them.
Because you can see them.
I can see them. I can hear them. I can sense them. Yeah.
Can you see them all the time?
No, it's not like that. Thank God. I mean, thank God. And actually, one of the things that spirit taught me that I talk about in the book, what is that I could set rules for the spirit world. Because there was times when the veil was either really thin, or I was just very tired and had really crappy psychic boundaries and self-defense boundaries, which I teach in the book as well. But I would see them, and I couldn't go anywhere. And I started to become very insulated and agoraphobic. Like, I didn't want to leave my house because who knows what's lurking out there. But then they started coming into the house, and then spirit said, no, you can set rules. And then they have to abide by them because this is our dimension. This is the human dimension. This is we get dominion over this. So I learned how, and then I began to learn how to become a spiritual warrior. For a long time, my name on Facebook and Instagram was Fear Slayer Bernadette.
I love,
because that was a little more palatable than Demon Slayer.
I love
but it. But like, seriously, on Yahoo years ago, when it was just Yahoo, before we had social media, I was known as Be the Psychic Vampire Slayer and Be the Demon Slayer.
That's insane. And I know you have a million stories, and we'll have to have you back on, but I want to know why, you know, one of the first things out of your mouth when you and I chatted last time was, yeah, this book's coming out and it's going to piss a lot of people off.
It is. Because I talk about God with a capital G a lot. But not God as in the religious God, which I name in the book, little g God, like not that God, not the religious God. And I do kind of call attention to the Catholic and the Christian fundamental church and how they have it wrong. You don't even know God. You don't know the God that I know, not the loving one. You know the judgmental dogma. You know the rules. That's not God. In fact, that's the opposite.
Exactly.
That's evil pretending to be light. So I probably will. And I've pissed a lot of people off throughout my life, and that's okay. Somebody has to say it.
Somebody has to say it. Yeah, that it's not all, because that was part of our conversation, right?
What unicorns is, and rainbows?
No. Tapping into your gifts is not all about, ooh, this is great. This is wonderful. There's a lot that goes with it.
Spiritual awakening is not a pleasant experience either. And people that write, there's so many best-selling authors in the spirit realm that talk about be here now and all this stuff. Okay, great. And that's fantastic. When you've gotten beyond your initial awakening of a dark night of the soul, when you've gotten beyond the whole thing of like, everything I thought I knew, I know nothing.
Yeah.
Get beyond that. And then let's talk about be here now.
You coach people as well. And so what have you heard of the definitions of spiritual awakening? Because anyone listening to this is, you know, maybe going through one or has had one. What is the real definition of a spiritual awakening?
Well, I mean, for everybody, the definition is very different, but spiritual awakening is when you actually realize you are far more than just a human. Yeah. In fact, you are spirit.
Yeah.
Having a human experience. This isn't about I'm all human, and it's about what I have and what I earn and who I'm married to and what I look like and Instagram lifestyle crap. That's not your life. That's the play.
That always blew my mind that more people don't question it. You know, as a little girl watching people saying, hey, you got to go to school. These are the grades. This is what you do. Then you got to get married. Then you have kids. Then you buy a house. Then you get a good job. And you save all your money. You don't live too frivolously. You travel once a year and then you retire. Ooh, we can't wait to do that. And then you die.
Yeah, no.
And I was
that's what we're programmed to believe.
All of us are just going to do that. Like, it's just, so why do we have stars? Why are they there? Why is there a moon? What is it? Okay. I understand that it's the tides and the ocean but what is beyond? Like, why us? Why are we on this rock rotating through space. Just no one's questioning it. What the hell?
It's not that no one is. It's that mainstream.
Mainstream. You got to find your tribe.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. How do you control people? By telling them they have no power and this is it. Yeah. Have them run around the maze of life and be distracted by every shiny object and every next accomplishment and every Gucci bag. That's how you get control.
Telling people that it's hard. You got to work hard. Yeah. We're tested. We're quizzed. We're pushed in these molds, right? This is how you're judged to see what level of society, you know, you're medium class, you're high class, you're low class, you know, you're an A level student, a B level student. We have all of these labels that we buy into.
And spiritual awakening removes all those labels. And then you're like, well, who am I then?
Yeah. Tell me about clairvoyance and, you know, all of the clair abilities. Does everyone possess the tools inside of them to develop those?
Yes. Every one of us has ability to tap the sixth sense. Whether it's clairvoyance, which is clear vision, clear seeing, clair audience, clear hearing. So hearing what is not audible, what we normally can't hear. Clairsentience, being able to smell, being able to feel something clearly that isn't coming from you or what you can see in your environment. And then there's all kinds of different ones. You've got claircognizance and precognition, mediumship, being able to communicate with those who've crossed over, either hearing them, smelling them, sensing them, or seeing them. And we all have them. Most of us have, well, everyone that I know and that I've trained has two primary gifts, and those alternate, or you have a primary and a secondary, right? So usually we're operating on one or two. Some people like me, we're born with it wide open. And, you know, it's no different than, well, people ask me like, well, which sense do you use? I don't know. While I'm driving, I'm usually using my eyesight, sometimes my hearing. So what do you think? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like when what I'm watching
primary ones,
for me, it's clairvoyance and clairaudience. Mm-hmm. But mediumship's always there. Everyone has a way to develop whatever their gifts are. And empath, lots of people are empaths. To me, that's like, it's the gateway gift, right? Like it's the beginner's gift. If you're empathic and you take on the energy of others, you can feel clearly what other people feel. You need to tune that into clairsentience so that you're no longer bombarded by everybody else. You know where stuff's coming from.
That's amazing.
But you can. I mean, most empaths don't know. Like, you don't have to just be a sponge. You can actually tune that puppy up and turn it to clairsentience.
Yeah, because a lot of empaths also get diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and a lot of other disorders because it's so heavy, but they can't put a word on the heaviness.
Well, and a lot of mediums get diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Yeah.
but they just don't have the ability to kind of close certain doorways and focus in one reality. They're like multidimensional living. And it's like, okay, you need to focus in this reality and still be able to access the others, but close those doors when necessary.
What are the benefits, Bernadette, of having those gifts and using them? How does that, you know, I'm someone who's listening to the show and I'm like, yeah, I've dabbled in the, I've been interested, but it's time consuming to refine your skills, you know, to fine tune your gifts. What is the benefit? Why would I want to tap into that? How can that help me here on earth?
Because your life becomes so much easier and you become tapped into your highest level self and your highest level timeline. And you can make things move in a much better way. You have more peace too, because you're not bogged down by just the mundane world of what you see and the rules, like you were talking about, like, you know, go to college, graduate, get a house and white picket fence. You get to have those things, but what you see and what you feel and what you experience is on such a higher level. Like, it's magical. Why wouldn't you want to tap it? Why wouldn't you want a relationship with those who've crossed over, with spirit, with God? Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, because then you can love without any kind of special label, like I can only love this person. No, you can love everybody when you're tapped everyone. Into that love. Yeah.
And that's such a phenomenal thing is, you know, the lesson is really unconditional love.
Absolutely.
That's our natural state of being.
Yep.
And so what do you think the purpose of life is on earth?
To remember who we are and to live from the unlimited potential and infinite potential that exists when connected to the infinite intelligence. That's the purpose. Be joyful. Remember who you are.
So why do we forget? Why is part of it forgetting who we are and then having to remember?
It's a good question. It's a complicated answer somewhat. And I'll try to distill it as simply as I can. So the ego is what gives us free will. A lot of people think the ego is just arrogance and pride and being a jerk, right? No, the ego is so much more subtle. The ego is that mask, that veil that drops when we're born. And the older we get, the more solidified the ego filters become and the more filters are layered on top of it. So we need to be able to remove those so we can see what really exists, so we can break things down to pure energy. If we saw the energy behind everything, do you know how much easier it would be to make decisions, right? To know, yeah, I want to play with that energy, or no, I do not want to touch that person's energy. It would be so much easier, right?
Yeah, of course.
So to do that work and I don't know that it's work. It's just what's necessary to get beyond the veil of the ego. Then we can exercise our free will choice to have something much bigger, much broader. And that's why we came to third dimension.
Do we choose to come here?
Absolutely.
And if do we sign, a lot of people say you sign a soul contract that your mission is to come learn this and
it's
this.
Not like they put paper in front of you. So I did this soul regression with a client of mine. We did a trade and he wanted to play because he does like full back. He took me way back to the point of creation, like when my soul was created, when my energy was created. But first he dropped me into the first time I chose to go away from source energy. Why did I choose that? And why did I choose to come to earth? And it's all been the same ongoing theme for me. Every lifetime I've ever had, I've been a teacher of one sort or another. The first incarnation was onto a planet that needed to be seeded with life. Like we were planting trees and we were bringing things into being. But earth, it was to teach unconditional love because they forgot.
They forgot.
So I mean, yeah, you're in a space of unconditional love, joy, and peace. And when I can remember it and recall what it feels like, can I bring it into my daily life all the time? No, it's really difficult. When it's at a high level, it's very easy, but you feel so blissful. So of course you look down on this planet and go, oh, that's easy. I mean, I can full on see myself just being out in space in the universe where everything is possible going, yeah, that earth place can't be that hard. I'll go. Teach them love. You bet.
Yeah. And I feel like I had a conversation with my guys last week and I was like, I'm just done again. Like, I want to go home and this is fine. And like, I don't need to come back next time. And what came through was, yeah, you say that all the time. And then you see the pain and the hardship and then you want to come back. And I'm like,
well, show people.
Make me cry. But that's very much my pattern is, okay, this is just, nope, there's nothing that I can do to change, fix it. Everything is just too broken.
But we aren't meant to change other people. And I think that's one of the misconceptions of a lot of spiritual people. They're like, I'm here to change the world and teach them how to love. You can do that by changing you.
By changing you and inspiring.
You model it. Yeah. Model it, behave that way. You be love. Every person you touch, you talk to, you drive by, sees that and they will transform. That's how you do it. You don't do it by Bible thumping. You don't do it by telling them how groovy you are. And you know, that's not how we do that.
Yeah.
We do it by actually being that.
Yeah. From what you know, does everyone have a higher self?
Of course. Yeah.
Even the lower level entities and the demons and all of that jazz, do they have a higher
self? Well, they're not human. They're not human, but they were created for a purpose. They have a purpose. You know, source energy, our creator, Father, Mother, God, you call it what you want. The one creative substance created both. Why? Because to have one, you must have the other. Do they have a higher self? They don't have intelligence. They have a consciousness, but they're not smart. And they don't have the kind of consciousness that we have access to. So they don't have higher selves.
And does duality exist across every timeline, every dimension, everywhere in the universe?
I can't answer that because I don't know for sure. I do know when I was connected to source way up where the canopy was, all it was pure bliss. There was no duality. It was just like, oh, perfection. You know, and I didn't want to leave. Yeah. And I've had a few near-death experiences or, you know, times when I'm pretty sure I died, but it wasn't clocked by anyone medical. That space is, you don't want to come back because there is no duality. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tell me about the different dimensions and our higher selves. Does our consciousness exist in different timelines simultaneously? So is there a little running around different?
There are different versions of you running around every place. You have an oversoul, higher self, that oversees every one of your different expressions. Combined into the higher self, it has one consciousness that has knowledge of all those lives. But you and I, living here in third dimension at this time, we don't have access all the time to what our other selves are doing, because then you would be schizophrenic.
Okay.
Right? And they don't have consciousness of us. However, there have been times when people have experienced bleed throughs, where one life bleeds through into the next.
Really?
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, there was a movie that was very interesting, and I think it was Demi Moore, where she'd fall asleep one person and live one life. Like, she was the same person, but in one when she was sleeping, she lived with one guy. And then when she was awake, she lived with the other, but she never knew which one was her third dimensional life. All right. It's kind of like that. Yeah.
That's really.
Yeah. But there are bleed throughs. There are walk-ins. There are spirits that come and walk in and take over a body if a soul decides they don't want to be here anymore and they're sick. It happens at hospitals all the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I do Akashic record readings, one of the things I check for is there just, you know, one soul in the body? Because you can actually have multiple souls in a body too, taking up one space.
Would that look like something that would be labeled like a, you know, a mental illness or a disorder?
It can be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the Mandela effect. Is that something that would look like those timelines bleeding into each other?
Yeah. It is, but that's more time. Like, they call it Mandela effect. And I did a show with a friend of mine who does, he's a client, and he talks a lot about the Mandela effect. And I've never studied it because I probably haven't had to or something. I don't know. But we've talked about it, and I did a show with him, and to me, I would call that timeline jumping. So you're on one timeline and all of a sudden you jump into another one where things are slightly different. Do you remember the show Fringe? Did you ever watch that?
Fringe? No.
Oh, you should watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. Noted. Because they had Earth One and Earth Two. Right. Okay. And then you can start to understand how that works. It's like this, there is a you. And it's just living in a different timeline. It's living in a different dimension.
I went down the rabbit hole when I saw a video about, you know, this girl going on and on about, oh my God, do you guys remember it? Was it the movie, not Cinderella, but Sleeping Beauty, where the witch says, mirror, mirror on the wall, tell me who's the fairest of them all, or who, whatever, you know? And she says, but now in that movie, it's magical mirror on the wall. And I was like, no, it's not. It's mirror, mirror on the wall. Like, I remember having all of the books when, you know, it's mirror, mirror on the wall. That wouldn't make any sense. And sure enough, now it's magic mirror on the wall. And I'm going, maybe there's something to it.
Well, and I think, I mean, from what I understand and what I've seen, especially this year, we've all been timeline jumping this year, which is why time is such a screwy concept right now. Literally. And I've driven through a couple portals in the last few months that had me like all kind of freaked out. Even me. I've been through a lot.
You get freaked out?
Oh God, are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, I still do. I always think like, oh, nothing can get me now. Oh yeah. Things still can, because the universe is so vast and there's so much we don't understand still.
And so everyone has spirit guides and angels with them. They have their spirit entourage. What are their limitations when you're in the face of danger? How can you turn to them? How can they help you here in this reality?
If you're in the face of danger, typically you're going to hear them audibly, or you're going to be shoved to safety. Like in my book, I talked a couple different incidents that happened like that. I think there's one in the first chapter where me and my friend were walking and praying, and I got shoved and hurt at the same time, jump in the ditch. And there was a car that was coming at us, its windows were blacked out. And if I had not pulled her into the ditch, we would have been dead.
So they can in some way.
Yeah, you read about stories like that all the time too. Lots of people talk about that.
What about when you're in this spiraling depression? You know, you're in this dark phase in your life. You lose your job, you lose your house, your husband's having an affair, you're having a miscarriage, like everything that you can imagine is going wrong. And this goes on for years and years. Can they nudge us? Can they pull our ponytails? Can they give us a little?
I mean, they can. And this is the thing that most people don't realize. Again, talked about it in the book, because when I went through all the darkness I experienced, I was like, well, they're just gone. Mm-hmm. You know, spirit's gone. I haven't seen, haven't heard, like, and all this bad stuff's happening. But when I started to come out of it and I was able to hear again, I'm like, where have you been? Like, what happened?
What the hell?
And they said, because your vibration dropped so low, you were out of the space where you could hear us, because the way spirit works, we have to raise our vibration to a certain level, and they have to bring their vibration down to make that connection so that we can speak. Well, when you're down low, you can't hear. All you really need to do to get back up is to start thinking about, what am I grateful for?
Yeah.
What do I have that I can be? Just a little gratitude goes a huge long way to bring you back into connection. They don't go anywhere. They're there. We just can't perceive them.
And gratitude. And then can they help us from that point, even if it's just a little glimpse of us?
Absolutely.
Vibrations.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we can hear, and then we can get on the path where we start to see the right things instead of the wrong things.
And what has been the most challenging part of all of these gifts that you've had to live with and learn to navigate through this life as a mom, as a, you know, trying to be quote unquote normal? What's been the biggest struggle?
Gosh, I think the biggest struggle has been for me, knowing what's on the other side of this, not being able to articulate it, and also not being able to go home. Because of course, like you, my whole life, I don't want to be here. I know what's on the other side. I get to play with it every day. Why can't I just go? I'll be a guardian angel. Like, give me a new title.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do this. And it's so heavy.
It's so funny. I recorded a podcast as a guest this morning on Spiritual Rockstar. And one part of it is an energy scan. And it wasn't very long, but you know, he just says, if I can close my eyes the last 10 minutes, and he goes, yeah. Okay, you got to stop wanting to go home. And I was like, excuse me? And he's like, they get it. Like, you want to go home. It's comforting. It's home. You miss home. You're homesick, but you're here. You're here. And now you have to tap into that. What is it? Your crazy healing energy. Something about, you don't want the world to think you're fucked up. You don't want the world to think that you're weird. Yeah. 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 You got to just do it. Just have fun with it and stop. They hear you. Okay. Everybody knows you want to go home. What are you talking about? Because it's that evident, because still every day I'm like, this was lovely.
Yeah. What time is it?
Yeah. And then, you know, there's moments in life where it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to leave. There's so much to do, so much to, but I think the heaviness. And tell me, our last conversation, the first thing you said to me was something about Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
Mercury. What do those elements play into? Because we got a lot of shit playing against us.
Well, globally, it's affecting all of us. But really, the planets are there to help create order. And while it doesn't feel like order to us humans and mere mortals, it actually does create order. Each planet, if you read the Kabbalah, the actual books, the Kabbalah speaks about every planet has a certain thing it rules, it grows, it governs. So every one of the planets, which astrology really kind of helps us understand if it's going forward, this is what it rules. Here's the positive, here's the negative. If it's in retrograde, which just means that everything's amplified with that planet, and we're kind of meant to look back about how we handled this thing, they're all there to help us grow. It's when people are like, oh my God, Mercury's retrograde, I can't do anything. No, I launched my book during a retrograde.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Mercury rules publishing. So I was like, I know there's probably going to be some tech issues, and there were, and there still are. But I know it'll go fine.
Downstairs.
And something pushed me down the stairs, but that has nothing to do with the planets. That has to do with the dark side wanting me to not put the book out. Because so it's not fluffy. I mean, this book is not like any other book out there.
Because that's what you expressed. You said, I'm tired of people saying that, you know, being a medium is this, or being a clairvoyant is this, and it's all fluff and it's all unicorns. It's not that easy. It can be terrifying. It can be challenging. You need to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. And well, and a lot of the spiritual books that are out there, and I don't want to name any titles, and I have some that I'm a big fan of as far as the teachings, like Wayne Dyer. I was a big fan of Wayne Dyer, loved him to death, you know, and he has a very practical application to spirituality. There's so many things out there. It's like, they don't teach you how to apply it to your daily human life. It's things to attain. It's things to, you know, to live up to, but nobody speaks about, okay, this is an incubus and succubus. So when you get night paralysis and, you know, something's trying to make you have an orgasm, you might want to check into this thing and then wrap that thing up. Nobody talks about that. And nobody talks about the hierarchy within the spirit realms. And it's always about the angels and channeling that, and let's ascend to the 12th dimension. You live in the third. Yeah. That's spiritual bypassing. And I didn't get into that. My next book's going to be a field guide for people who are, you know, spiritual person's field guide. But seriously, like, I don't do fluff. I get highly annoyed when I see people that are doing readings and it's all fluffy and you're such a great person. And in a past life, you were Cleopatra and oh my God, everybody loved. How is that helpful?
How is that helpful?
Yeah, it's not.
But I have a question. Big fan of Wayne Dyer. I'm a groupie. He knows. Are you able to channel his energy, his consciousness? Are you able?
I've been able to speak to him and in his energy, but for very brief periods of time. The thing is, like, I can talk to lots of people, but I never name them. I don't name drop. I don't name drop archangels. Probably. But for you personally,
you can tap into that because there's a lot of people, you know, there's one in particular who has a series of videos out and people kind of comment and they're like, hey, talk to Robin Williams. We want to know what happened. And then she'll do a series of videos. And I'm always like, I wonder how much of it is for entertainment purposes and how much of it is her actually connecting.
There is a lot of ego in the so-called spiritual dimension and metaphysical communities. There really is a lot of ego. Again, I don't name drop. I don't tell people my guides' names because A, if they heard them, would they believe it? B, it's not necessary.
The same way. And I still say to one of them, I'm like, I'm sure this is a prank. I'm sure it's a joke. I'm sure that's not who you are. And when I die, you're going to go like, boop, 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 joke, haha, you lived your whole life thinking this is who I was. But I don't, you know, I don't do that.
Spirits always told me, just call us spirit.
Yeah, spirit. Yeah.
Spirit or infinite mind, infinite intelligence.
We talked about that, but briefly, I want to touch for those who are curious and who are, you know, diving into this and learning. I know a lot of people start off being curious about communicating with their spirit guides by the use of tarot cards or a pendulum or through meditation? Do you have a modality that you recommend as a beginner to
journal it?
Journaling.
Right. If you write, which is how I started channeling, was writing. I would ask a question and I would just sit and write every single thing I got without editing, you know, and it was mixed. And I could tell, funny enough, I could tell with my handwriting when it was my ego or my voice and when it was actual spirit, because my handwriting changed, the tone changed, the language changed.
The language changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there were things that were coming through that I had no knowledge of. You know, when I was asking about years ago, I mean, it's probably 30 years ago, I wanted to understand quantum physics. People weren't writing about quantum physics. There was there's information from the Seth material, but I wanted more. I wanted to know, how does this apply to everything, daily life?
Yeah.
What can I do with this understanding? So I channeled a lot of that stuff. And to this day, I haven't shared that stuff.
That's personal to you.
To me, it is. Yeah.
Does Source ever look through our eyes? You know,
as Source looks through our eyes all day, every day. What are we?
Talks to Abraham, and when they say, she says a lot, they'll sneak a peek through through our eyes when we're enjoying a moment of, you know, watching a bird or looking at a little kitten.
We are God expressing itself individually and uniquely through each person, each animal, each tree, each drop of water, each blade of grass. That is God expressing itself. So yeah, all the time.
The importance to remember that we are all interconnected, I think, would make a big difference in the world.
Yeah, but people have to feel that. You can't just be told that. You have to feel that. The closest I've ever come to feeling that in this life was in the teepee during Native American ceremonies. You know, you go through, it's a grueling process, but you go through such a battle with your ego at the beginning of the night, and you're up all night on your knees. It's not easy. But by the end of the ceremony in the morning, as you come out of the teepee, you look into the face of others and all you see is yourself. It's like you are all family. Oh yeah. You're like, oh yeah, brother, how you doing? Truly, that's what it looks and feels like, because you all were in the belly of the beast all night. It's a weird thing that the blinders come off and you're able to see. Oh yeah, we are connected.
We are all connected.
Yeah. And you love that person. Like for that moment before the medicine wears off, before life starts again, there's this period where you're like, I get it.
Yeah.
No ego. Their ego's gone. Your ego's gone. And it's just like, I love you.
How can I not love you? Tell me about when you feel compelled to tap into your gifts, because you can, you know, you now are able to compartmentalize. So when you're at the grocery store, it doesn't affect you as much, but does it ever happen to you where you're sitting down with someone and they haven't asked for a reading and you're just in the middle of a conversation and you are being compelled to tell them something that could change their life?
Occasionally, but I get stuff all the time when I'm with people and I don't always say something. And I have symbols that spirit gives me, knowing whether or not I'm supposed to do something with it, or am I just supposed to quietly pray? Am I just supposed to comfort them? Am I just supposed to show up and be a really loving feminine energy for them? Because not all the time do we get things and we're supposed to do something, you know, that's that ego part of, I got to save them. So occasionally I will get something, and then I usually frame it in a question. Hey, I was wondering, and then drop it, right?
Yeah.
Rather than, hey, I was scanning your, you know, spirit and your body, and you got this thing that's really screwed up. Like, I don't do that. And I don't think that's ethical. I'm one of the few psychic teachers that actually teach the ethics, because there's nothing more than unethical readers and psychics and healers that pisses me off. Like, it it's wrong. And it sullies the whole world to these gifts that are supposed to be very sacred.
What is your mission moving forward with this book that's out now? And you're going to be dropping another book, I'm sure of it. What is your mission in this season of your life? What would you want everyone to know? What is your wisdom, your advice from this point of view?
It is to hopefully connect everyone to their intuitive intelligence and let that be the guiding force in this world. Because from intuitive intelligence, we're connected to emotional intelligence, which is where we need to live and what's missing on this planet. If we were able to, all of us, especially our leaders, mm-hmm. to live from our intuitive intelligence, this world would be a far better place. So my mission and goal is to reach as many millions and millions of lives. I mean, all I have to do, because I was calculating it with Spirit, it's so funny because I ask stupid things like this. I'm like, how many books do I need to sell for it to create the ripple effect to reach at least 1 million lives? And they said, well, if you sell 1 million, you can probably push that out to reach 100 million. I said, okay, that's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
It's so funny. I was listening to a talk this morning and it was take your cues from nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because even, and the story was of an orphaned chick who'd not been raised by its mom or dad and instinctively became a mom and laid eggs and knew how to sit on those eggs for 21 days and knew to dig up the worms and mm-hmm. feed the babies until one day the little chickadee came up and she pecked it on the head and she's like, "Nah, you got to get your own worm now." And how, if we could just tap into that instinct, I just listened to this morning, so it's remarkable that you're talking about it. And that's not, we call it instinct, but that's just our connection to source.
It is like the indigenous people. That's how they live.
That's how she just,
until we said, somewhere. Oh, you have to go to a reservation now. And you only get this area over here with, you know, the crappiest land on the planet. We're going to give you the less amount of resources, but funny enough, like the family that helped save my life, in Arizona, I was so blessed to have met them. They live the old teachings. They live the old ways. They look to the signs in nature. They look to where's the stars, what's happening with the wind, you know, to tell them, do you do this or do you not do this? Right. And
very connected to Mother Nature.
Absolutely. And I wish we all had that, but you can have it. Like one of the reasons people always ask me, why do you, for years, you always sit outside at sunrise. Mm-hmm. Always try to sit outside and watch the sunrise. And if you notice, pay attention when you're up, all the birds face the sun as it's coming up. Have you ever noticed that? They all are very still.
Wayne Dyer's morning meditation, the Om meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. You'll have to connect and to say, thank you. Feel the gratitude for the sun. And it's a new day. The light is coming.
Whether you're on the beach or you're in Texas where I live, all of the birds sit on the wire in the morning and face the sunrise.
That's so powerful.
And so if they're doing it, hell yes, I'm going to, and my dog comes and sits on her little patio chair right next to me. And we watch the sunrise. And as soon as it's up and the birds start going, then it's like being like out there with, the day. Well, and I get to see it. I always call it spirit TV if I'm on my porch, because that's when I start to see the messages. Like, okay, there's a blue jay over there. Oh, look, there's a cardinal. Okay, here comes a dragonfly. I get all the messages in the morning and throughout the day. And whenever possible, I catch the sunset because it's the same thing. All the birds are on the line watching the sunset.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Ever since I was little, I have a hatred. I don't like using that word, but for socks and shoes. I love being mm-hmm. barefoot. And it wasn't till I was older that someone just made a comment that you like to be connected and grounded and the importance of that. And now, you know, over the last few years, realizing what that means and what that feels like, but You know, I was the hockey mom in the arena here in Canada when there's 20 feet of snow wearing flip flops and kind of like taking them off in the arena because it's like, oh, my thing. I don't wear a hat. I don't wear mitts. And I think that's part of it. And for me, when I watch the sunrise, it's kind of like, you know, fill me up, buttercup, give me some of that magic.
And it is that thing of just being in awe. When you can look at something, what we consider really a simple thing, the sun's coming up. Can you make the sun come up? Yeah. So is it it's such miraculous. A simple thing?
Yeah, it's beautiful. So tell the listeners where they can find you, what kind of classes, courses, programs you offer for all of my curiously spiritual, maybe psychic friends listening.
You can find me on my website, BernadetteGold.com or EnchantedProsperity.com. I teach all kinds of classes. I have very high level programs for people who want to transform their entire lives and really like make a ton of money. That's my highest level programs. And then I have things that are like masterclasses and empath. I have an empath masterclass where I teach you all about being an empath and how to control that gift. Things that you're not going to be taught out in any of the books that are out there, at least not any I have seen. And then I have a monthly membership that used to be on Patreon, but we brought it onto my website this month because we're having problems with Patreon. That's like $40 a month. I do a monthly forecast. And then I teach right now I'm teaching on the gene keys because I think it's an important study for people. And I do a live monthly coaching and that's only $40 a month. People can come work with me, but I do one-on-ones. I still do readings, but not like you call a psychic and be like, is he coming back? I don't do those. I refuse those. I refund the money.
I'm sorry.
I know. I had one this morning because she's obviously I'm getting a ton of hits because of my book. Yeah. And she's like, I need a reading. And I said, about what? Well, I like this guy who has a girlfriend. I'm like, I don't do those readings.
I don't play.
And then she told me to F off. So I blocked her. She told like, yeah. Cause I said, I don't do those readings. We're not a good fit. And I have no problem saying that to people because I can, I have enough clients to last the rest of my life. I like to
people who are looking
to grow
themselves to,
yes. I mean, I'm a healer.
Yeah. Did you freeze?
I help people with that sort of thing, right? Yeah. Like healing their mental, emotional scars, their traumas, PTSD. I help people understand their own gifts.
Yeah. And level up.
Absolutely. And become psychic.
Stop. What is my favorite, my new favorite saying is I will no longer limit God by seeing limitations in myself or others.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And whether you're from a more religious background or you're, you know, tapping into spirituality or your spiritual life, I find that's beautiful. Whether it's God with a capital G or God with a little G, it's don't limit the infinite powers of source by seeing limitations in yourself or others. And I love that.
No, and that's much easier though. Once you get beyond the dark night of the soul, when you're in the dark night of the soul, everything's just like, oh my God, everything just blew up. Now what? I love helping people that are just waking up. I love it. Like, okay, now we can do something. Let's get to work.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to catch them though, right before they start telling everybody and then, you know, they get prescribed antidepressants. You want to get them right before that. It's kind of like, let's work through this before you start screaming it from the rooftops.
I helped a young man, a wonderful young man who was diagnosed with schizophrenia and he has wonderful parents. I think they're hippies, but they didn't go along with all the drugs and all of that. They cleaned up his diet and helped him with a lot of stuff. And I told him, I said, you know, it's not that you're just schizophrenic. This is sacred. What's happening to you? And we discussed it. He has a business now called Sacredphrenia. And
I love that.
Yeah, he's amazing and works with energy now and understands this is a gift. Mm-hmm. It's not a diagnosis.
Yeah.
You don't just treat, you know, a bunch of symptoms, but right now there's so much healing available that wasn't available even a year ago. There's new frequencies that have come in new healing frequencies that are healing people instantaneously right now, no matter if it's spiritual, sickness, physical, mental, emotional, doesn't matter. And I've had the great honor of carrying those frequencies. I've had so much fun with it. That's so much fun. Yeah.
You're my new best friend. You don't know it, but I'm going to be stalking you and the books and hyping you up. Thank you so much, Bernadette Gold, my guest today on Coffee with Source. We are going to keep an eye on you and have you back soon, I hope. Thank you for enlightening us.
Thank you.